You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I am here with my colleague, Steve Gilbert, who incidentally also works for MLB.com. Funny how that works out. Steve, so here we are. We are in early January, and Major League Baseball has officially sent out the dates that everybody will be reporting to spring training, so that gets everybody very excited. And so now the Diamondbacks just have to sort of figure out what they have going into spring training. And I don't know, reading some of your coverage, I'm thinking that the behind-the-plate situation is probably a pressing issue. So what do you see with the catcher situation and how that's going to shake out?
Yeah, Allison, you know, I really think that they still have to do something with the catching situation. Right now they just have Tuffy Goswich, who was their backup last year and you know, is an outstanding defensive catcher. I don't know if he's a guy that you want starting 140 games for you during the course of the year. They drafted a kid in the Rule 5 draft, but he played in the Midwest League last year. I'm not sure that he's going to be the answer back there either. And they want to give Peter O'Brien, who is a prospect they got in the Martin Prado deal from the Yankees last July, they want to give him some more time to develop behind the plate. So I really think that at some point here, they're going to have to find themselves a catcher. You know, Deonner Navarro seems like a guy that could make sense for the Blue Jays if they were able to work a trade with Toronto. But certainly it seems like that's the one glaring hole that they still have left to fill.
I mean, that is not just a glaring hole. I mean, I don't know. The amount of time I've been around baseball, like, I just feel like, you know, having like this, well, we're trying to figure out catcher, you know, on January 8th, 9th, 10th, whatever. I don't know. It kind of boggles the mind a little bit. I mean, I get what's been going on in the offseason and they dealt Montero. I mean, I understand everything that happened leading up to this, but, you know, getting a Rule 5 guy and thinking that, well, maybe that'll work, it just seems like, I mean, does this kind of take you a little bit off guard, a little bit?
A little bit, only because when we asked Dave Stewart during the winter meetings when the Miguel Montero rumors were kind of circulating, what his plans were at catching, he said, you know, obviously if we make this move, we feel like there's some other things that we can do. Now, I don't think he was referring to Oscar Hernandez, the Rule 5 pick from the Rays. So maybe he thought there was something else that was going to happen that hasn't happened yet, or maybe he knows that there's an offer out there that he can pull the trigger on when they finally decide to do so. But yeah, it is a little surprising this late in the game to still be looking for a catcher. And again, Oscar Hernandez, their thoughts are really high on him as a defensive catcher, but that's a really big jump to make from the Midwest League. And I just, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. I mean, even in the Midwest League, you know, he hit .249, so he's still got some development there, and I'm just not sure they can count on.
Well, yeah, that's going to be probably the most interesting thing to keep our eye on with the Diamondbacks at this point. But let's talk about a little bit about the rotation. How many open spots are there heading to spring training? It looks pretty good at the top, and then there's a lot of guys on this depth chart, so there appears to be probably some competition going into spring training in that area.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing where they have talked a little bit about what the rotation looks like as of right now. And if you look at Josh Colemanter and the other people that Dave Stewart mentioned was Ruby De La Rosa, Jeremy Hellickson, and Alan Webster. De La Rosa and Webster were the two that they got from the Red Sox in the Wade Miley deal. Now, you know, then you start getting into Chase Anderson, Trevor Cahill, Vidal Nuño, Archie Bradley, Andrew Chafin, Robbie Ray. I mean, there's a whole, you know, a whole host of possible starters. I think that right now they have De La Rosa and Webster pencils into the rotation, but those two are not, I don't think, locks in terms of, I think they still have to show something this spring in order to seal up rotation spots. I would say that Josh Colemanter and Jeremy Hellickson are probably locks to make the rotation, and then after that it's kind of a free-for-all in terms of competition, with maybe De La Rosa and Webster having a leg up going into camp, but certainly it's not a set rotation by any means.
And actually, the thing that they didn't really mess around with a lot was the bullpen, and they seem to be pretty happy with that. Is that, I mean, the bullpen is always that thing that nobody really pays a whole lot of attention to, but if you have a bad one, it can absolutely crush your season. So, of course, if you have a bad anything, then it can crush your season. But really, what do you think? I mean, there's a lot, long list of guys over there, too, but it seems to be a pretty solid group of guys.
It seems like that they feel pretty confident about the bullpen. You know, they've got Allison Reed as their closer. They had a young kid by the name of Evan Marshall kind of step up, a right-hander that he throws hard, that he kind of stepped up last year, and they were impressed with him. David Hernandez will be back at some point in the first few months from Tommy John surgery, and he was an excellent setup guy for them in the past. Brad Ziegler is another guy who's been consistent year in and year out, a very good setup guy, even close for them when need be. And then you start to look at some of the prospects that they have coming up. I mean, they've got some hard throwers in Matt Stites, and they've got a kid by the name of Burgos down in the minor leagues that's very good. And Jake Barrett is knocking on the door, another hard thrower. So they've got a lot of depth there. So I think they feel pretty confident with the way the bullpen is right now. Plus, whoever doesn't make the rotation is also a candidate for the bullpen. So at least on paper, and again, you know, you mentioned that the bullpen can be wildly inconsistent from year to year. But certainly on paper right now, they feel pretty good about the depth that they have there in case some guys do falter.
I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame week that we've had. It was a very exciting time here in Houston with Craig Biggio getting in, and, of course, with Randy Johnson. It's a big day for the Diamondbacks, too. So, it's funny because Randy Johnson, I mean, he was in Houston for 2 months in 1998, and he was a much different guy on the mound and then off the field, you know, pretty relaxed off the field. And I think we're seeing a little bit about, he's animated, he's smiling a lot. He seems to have really enjoyed the last few days. What kind of impressions did you get from the whole experience with him?
You know, he was, as he said during his press conference, that he was wound kind of tight during his 22 years in the big leagues. I think anybody that was around him could tell you and vouch for the fact that, yes, he was wound very tight. He felt like, you know, that he owed it to the fans, he owed it to his teammates to work as hard as he could. And in the way that he did that was he always was kind of had a chip on his shoulder a little bit that kind of kept his edge. But since his retirement, really, you know, I've talked with him off and on over the last few years, he's been like he was during his Hall of Fame press conferences, where you see him kind of laughing and joking and relaxed now that he no longer has to compete. He's an accomplished photographer. He's got his own website where he displays his photos, and he goes out and he's traveled the world taking photos. So he's found that passion, and he just seems to be very happy with where his life is at right now and very relaxed, quite different than he was on the mound. And speaking of his time in Houston, Allison, he said that the 2 months that he spent in Houston when he was 10-1 with like a 1.28 ERA, that not at any other time in his career did he have a better 2 month span than he did there in Houston.
Wow. You know, it's funny because I don't know if anybody, this is like a little known fact, but just with his height and the way that the ball, with his delivery, there was actually a billboard in the Astrodome in the outfield that was white, and the players could not pick up, the hitters could not pick up his pitches at all, to the point where they actually had to adjust the billboard because it was such an unfair disadvantage for the other team. So they had to actually make that adjustment. I don't know if anybody knows that, but
they do now.
Yeah, they do now. I figured, 16 years later, 17 years later, it's probably okay to talk about it. But has there been any discussion on what did you say?
I said you're still dropping knowledge after all these years. That's very impressive.
Oh, yeah, I know. I have this, like, crazy memory when it comes to the late 90s. Has there been any discussion as to what cap he's going to wear? Is he going to go the Maddox way and just keep it blank, or what's he going to do?
Well, he was asked several times about that the day that the election happened, and he said that the decision is out of his hands, which is not completely true. The Hall has the final say on it. That part's true, but, you know, certainly the player has some input. But he was not going to give away what his input would be. There's a case certainly for the Mariners, but with the Diamondbacks winning four straight Cy Youngs, winning the World Series, You know, winning MVP during the World Series, pitching a perfect game with the Diamondbacks. It seems like, you know, all things considered, that he would go in as a Diamondback, but, you know, you just never know, and it's certainly possible. I could certainly see him go in as a Diamondback or go in, you know, like the Greg Maddux, Tony La Russa route, where there's no logo on the cap.
I have a feeling that this is how it's going to go. Like, if he has a preference, then I think that he'll tell the Hall of Fame, and that they'll probably grant that, because it's so... You could, like you said, you can make a case for either, but if he just doesn't, I mean, he may feel very strongly about, like, not wanting, you know, any logo on there. I don't know. It's kind of a political thing, because you really, that would really be a bummer for Seattle if he went in, as you know, because he had so much success there, and for him to go in with a different cap, you're like, wow, it's kind of a gut punch, I would think.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, because he had more years. He had 10 years in Seattle, but he had 8 years in Arizona. And, you know, the accomplishments he kind of reached, he kind of came into his own in Seattle. But, you know, he had most of his accomplishments in Arizona. So maybe he'll surprise everybody going as an Astro for those 2 months that he spent in Houston.
I don't even think the Astros fans would want that. That was, I will say,
you know,
though. Like, when he came to Houston, I mean, it was the most frenzied, crazy, isolated time. You know, obviously when they won the pennant in 05, so that trumps everything. But it would be a Wednesday night against the Pirates, and there'd be 50,000 people in the dome because Randy Johnson was pitching. And it was so loud that the confetti that was in the roof that came down for the 97 division championship the year before, the Astrodome shook so much that the leftover confetti started falling down on the field.
Allison, you need to write a book. I'm telling you, this is some good stuff that you're sharing that nobody has ever known before. So let's get together and write a book on this, would you?
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. So okay, we have to save some stuff for next week. So I think we'll cut it off now, and then next week we'll start talking about the often injured roster that seems to be on the mend, but we'll save that for next time. So, Steve,
all right, well,
thank you so much.
Hopefully you still have some good Astrodome memories that you can share next week, too.
This is the Diamondbacks podcast, so I'll try to keep it to a minimum.
It's always good talking to you, Allison.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.